as long, and we can do this as long as we don't take the student past, past the safe operating ranges. So the equipment to do this is the Vive and the Oculus Rift. Those can be installed in the aircraft and along with a large laptop computer. With respect to a library of training scenarios, situations that had previously called loss of control accidents would be replayed through the VR headset and the student trained in the proper course of action. The scenarios would be repeated until the cerebellum has properly learned its lessons. Care should be also taken to ensure that the student is fully aware of the impending scenario and is prepared to correct and is taught the corrective actions at that time. Examples of this may include base to final turn when a pilot would overshoot the center line, need to pull it back in, get an uncoordinated turn, and this is still taught at a high altitude where any stall spin would have plenty of time to recover. Once the cerebellum, is imprinted to the correct with the correct actions to overcome loss of control situations, inattentiveness and distractions really won't play a part in it or have very little impact, as the quickness of a reaction to a threatening situation. Loss of control training experience stays with a pilot no matter when what aircraft they fly or how it's equipped. In conclusion, we have the enhanced scenario-based training imprints the cerebellum with muscle memory. Training and it can be carried out at almost any time in almost any aircraft. The equipment, $1,500 or less at this earlier stage. Done.
Thank you, Carl. And now we'll move on to the judges' questions. You have 10 minutes. Go.
I got a question on when you say you're going to have them fly pre-programmed scenarios, are you worried that you're showing them the wrong way to fly and how to recover?
No, that has to be addressed from the beginning, that the CFI will let them know what they're going to do. As an example, say you're doing a takeoff and you get to 400 feet, you brief the student in advance that you will have an engine out at about 400 feet and will walk you through what you should do at that point versus an engine out at 600 or 700 feet. So you're training them, but they're feeling everything when they do it.
Right, and that what they're going to feel is what they input into the airplane. So how do you differentiate between if they do something incorrectly that doesn't match with the video?
Oh, with the virtual reality, the information coming into the virtual reality headset will respond to their altitude, their head movement.
So it's not a pre-programmed thing, it's actually active.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
So I've seen some good examples of this type of technology. For example, learning how to fly formation on a tanker, but there's no actual tanker there. It's mapped out there in virtual reality. So I think what I heard you say from that last thing is that this is a feedback system and the attitude matches what you see in the glasses is the attitude.
Correct.
So my question to you is, why not just look outside? How does the virtual reality, for example, going back to your engine failure one, isn't what you're going to feel be different if you start making the attitude of the airplane go down?
let's say you're actually at 3,000 feet, you're cruising along, you pull back the power, you slow it up, and now what you see in the headset is you're on the runway, and you're adding power, and you accelerate away from the runway, and you'll see that runway moving away from you, although you're at 3,000 feet. And then you try the impossible turn to get back to that runway, and you'll see a runway as you turn around. And you may end up not having enough altitude after the power is pulled and landing below that runway, but it won't hurt.
So is it just the altitude displacement that you're changing artificially? Everything else is the same as the airplane in terms of attitudes?
Correct.
Okay. Have you tested this with a number of students?
No.
No? Where are you at in your progress?
It's at this level of concept. Okay. There's been no software written. I have worked or experimented with some VR systems. And the important thing, unless you've tried them already, and I don't know whether any of the judges has, they feel very real. Many people, we set up one in a hangar a few months back, and you'd rise in an elevator and you'd have a plank out over, and it looked like you were 40 stories up. People could not make that step. I couldn't make that step. Your body's telling you you can't move out there when you're in the middle of a hangar floor. It's that real to you, and that's what I'm trying to really get into the cerebellum of people who tried it this way. They will feel everything you would really feel as if you were turning around and not being able to make the runway.
Okay, I have a question then. I guess I understand that we really haven't tested this as thoroughly as would probably be needed to be totally happy with it. The other is on the basis that it works as you have projected. One of our concerns here is reducing the loss of control accidents in the existing fleet of home-built airplanes. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on how you would encourage implementation of this? It obviously, in a training environment, presuming it works, that's for people taking training. Do you have any ideas of implementing recurrent training or really making that happen to the point that it would have a impact on the legacy fleet of airplanes and pilots?
It's really aimed at recurrent training and or your BFR, something like that. It's not aimed at primary students.
And then with the flight instructor, what are they monitoring to determine whether or not the student is doing things correctly, incorrectly?
I had to jump through that too quickly. So they'll have an iPad or a tablet, and they will see what the student sees, and they will also be able to manipulate the information from that iPad.
So if you have that altitude displacement, I sort of get that. When we do a lot of training, we do that over a road, and you say, okay, you know, imagine that road is up here and get back on that heading or directly over the road. So would you be concerned that a student would get spooked? I mean, if you did this at altitude with these VR glasses and it didn't work out, like, you would have died in that maneuver. Is that put you off more than it helps train you?
Well, this is something that needs to be developed over time, but it has a lot to do with what the instructor, what the CFI, how far they take it with a student.
What's the training then for the flight instructor? There's a point where, you know, you're watching it all happen, mm-hmm. and if that student fears the ground and pulls, you've created a whole scenario. Yeah, it's easy, right. 5,000 feet, and yeah, you got 5,000 feet to recover, but are we not imparting negative type training or putting a fear factor?
Well, that's what we really need to be able to manage. And the CFI needs to be trained to manage that. Personally, the first time I ever did a stall, it was a total disaster, and it stayed with me for years. And that was with a regular CFI.
I guess I have a little problem there if the instructor doesn't see what the student is seeing.
Well,
how does he know what the student is reacting to?
Right, the instructor will see what the student sees.
He has a screen.
Correct.
In addition to his outside view.
Correct.
So he has to monitor both at the same time and make a correlation between what the instructor is seeing, I won't say he or she,
right,
versus what the student is reacting to and seeing.
Correct. So a yoke-mounted iPad, they're seeing what the student, and granted, the student is a regular pilot, experienced pilot, not someone who will panic as much. And they're seeing that, but they're also, you know, doing their proper scans outside.
So you're talking a lot about ab initio training, where we're talking basic stick and rudder skills. Have you thought about using this for instruments? I mean, it seems to me like a really good case could be made for using this for instrument training. Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of opportunities to take it further than this. The focus now was to put that reactions into the lower brain so that you respond instantaneously instead of thinking it through every time something happens.
So a lot of these questions are leading to what's your plan, where are you going with it, what's next, how you get it to testing and so forth.
The next action would be, depending on how much money is available, to write the interface software between the headset and the iPad and the computer, the laptop that'll be in the back seat, so that the iPad can control the images going into the headset.
Does this require head tracking software, or is it
just... Yeah, we'll start with that. I mean, these units are very basic and they don't use outside head tracking, but they don't have the resolution that you would have with the two brands I mentioned earlier. Those use two mounted sensors to pick up the head location.